talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media, Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and soon a lot of other places. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and there was a lot of it made yesterday, last night, and early this morning. We're going to start with a congressional race in Alaska. Alaska, when I think of Alaska, I think of the Robert Service poem. Bunch of the boys was whooping it up in the Malamute Saloon, and the kid that handled the music box was hitting a ragtime tune. Back of the bar in a solo game sat Dangerous Dan McGrew. That's what you need to know about Alaska. Although Alaska's a great state, I've been there. Fish for halibut up off the Kenai Peninsula. Great state. But the reason we're going to a congressional race in Alaska is because Sarah Palin was on the ballot. Why was she on the ballot? A fellow named Don Young died a little bit ago. Don Young was elected to the congressional seat in Alaska in 1973. I mean, he was on there for almost 50 years, clogging that seat, Republican. Essentially a hairball clogging the drain, but they liked him up there. He died. So there was a special election to fill out his term. His term expired in January. And then there was a special election for the November election for the next two-year term for that seat. So there were two ballots. Sarah Palin lost. Sarah Palin lost. The election that was announced yesterday, late yesterday, was to fill out his term. In other words, whoever won goes right to Congress right now, September 1st, and is a full-fledged regulation card-carrying congressman till January. Why January? Because his successor gets elected in November and gets sworn in January. So you have September, October, November, December. Nancy Pelosi picked up a seat. Don Young was a Republican, and the Democrat won. The Democrat, believe it or not, in Alaska, way up north to Alaska, beat Sarah Palin. The Democrat is a woman named Mary Pertola. Mary Pertola. I like Mary Pertola. Everything I read about her, I like the picture she had on her website. Mary Pertola is indigenous. In the old, old days, they referred to Eskimos. That's the wrong term. We talk about indigenous people. And Mary Pertola is as indigenous as they come. Member of a tribe up there and was active in tribal affairs. The first indigenous person in Alaska to get elected to Congress, elected statewide to anything up there. They haven't been treated well. Well, I'm really glad to see her in Congress. It's terrific that she's taking Don Young's place. Terrific that she's a Democrat. But how did she beat Sarah Palin? How did she meet Sarah Palin? Nobody's heard of Mary Pertola. Everybody, for better or for worse, has heard of Sarah Palin. You know, it's because they have ranked choice voting up there. If it had not been for ranked choice voting, I don't know that, and it had been down to two in the primary, I don't know that Mary Pertola could have won. They had ranked choice voting in the New York mayoral race where Mayor Adams won, but he would have won anyway. He overwhelmingly won. But what happened was there was a primary, two primaries, a couple of months ago. One was for the election to fill out the last 4 months of Don Young's term. And the second one was to get elected for the next two-year term in November. Mary Pertola, in that primary to fill out his term, 4 months, came in fourth. You know, normally she'd be toast. But with ranked choice voting, they send it on to a final, the top four. The final occurred 2 weeks ago, but it takes time to recompute in ranked choice voting. And I'm going to tell you what ranked choice voting is. Some folks say we should do it all over the place. I myself am not a fan of it, even though in this case, it elected a Democrat. So what happened was, in the election, the top four go in, and it was 2 weeks ago. I think it was August 15. And Mary Pertola got the most votes, but it was a narrow plurality. It was something like 31%. And Sarah Palin got 29%. There's a third guy named Nick Begich. Nick Begich, B-G-I-C-H, and he got, I don't know, 18 or 20%. In any event, under ranked choice voting, he gets thrown out, and then they count who among his supporters listed a second choice. And then they transferred those second choice votes onto either Mary Pertola or Sarah Palin. And more people who supported Nick Begich picked Mary Pertola as their second choice, and they picked Sarah Palin, which is amazing because Nick Begich is a Republican, and so is Sarah Palin. But they'd had enough of her. They'd had enough of Saturday Night Live. They'd had enough of this business. I can see Russia from my house. Crazy stuff. Absolutely crazy stuff. During with John McCain, when he picked her, he'd only met her for 2 hours, and he picked her for vice president because he thought he needed a woman on the ticket so that he could pick up Hillary Clinton supporters when she was eased out by Barack Obama. It's ridiculous. I mean, somebody who supports Hillary Clinton isn't going to just turn over and go, okay, then I'll do Sarah Palin. I mean, that's really condescending and crazy, really crazy. But anyway, when they reallocated Nick Begich's second choice votes, enough went to Mary Pertola to ease out Sarah Palin. And it wasn't a super large majority, but it was comfortable. It was almost 3 points. Mary Pertola, after you reallocated Nick Begich's votes, got 51.47 of the vote. Sarah Palin got 48.53, almost 3 points. Close only counts in horseshoes. Close only counts in hand grenades. Close does not count in an election. 3 points, a hair under 3 points, is an excellent little margin. Mary Pertola goes off to Congress, first indigenous person in Alaska, and a Democrat, to represent the state of Alaska in Congress. Now, she gets to serve till January. She also has to win the election in November to serve the next 2 years after January. And in that election, again, there will be four candidates. And Sarah Palin, Nick Begich, Mary Pertola are all on the ballot. And it's going to come down again, in my opinion, to what the second choice votes are of Nick Begich's supporters. Because he's not going to win. And then it gets down to Mary Pertola and Sarah Palin. And listen, if the same number of people who supported Nick Begich once again say, hey, I am going to put my number two as Mary Pertola again, she will go to Congress for 2 years, 2 full years. Now, it is possible, and I'm getting deep in the weeds on this, but it is possible they sit there and they go, look, I don't like Sarah Palin, but if Nick isn't going to make it, I'm going to make her my number two just to keep a Republican in there. And are there about 3% of the voters who will do that and shift it to Sarah Palin by a hair? Who knows? It's a democracy. We're a democracy. But I will tell you this. If you want to support anybody in this race, yes, support Mandela Barnes in our statewide ticket. But you might think of sending a check to Mary Pertola because if we had Sarah Palin, remember, Sarah Palin was endorsed by Donald Trump. Donald Trump's gone around the country saying, oh, wow, all my endorsees got elected. Well, no, they didn't. Quite a few of them didn't. Some of Trump's endorsees were just people, low-hanging fruit that he endorsed because they were way ahead in the polls. They didn't even ask for it, although they basked in it. I think it did help, quite frankly. It did help Tim Michaels in the state. It certainly didn't help the attorney general candidates. Eric Tony of Fond du Lac got it, even though the other two Republicans were flat out bat feathers crazy and Trump supported. Well, that actually, you know something? Trump didn't necessarily come out directly in support of either one, but they all preached his gospel and they didn't make it. But up in Alaska, 3 points isn't huge. And so I'm just putting this on your radar. Just putting this on your radar. Mary Pertola is our congressman up there. We flipped a seat. Don Young passed away. Mary Pertola, the Democrats, in. And so Nancy Pelosi has another vote. This is especially important because Charlie Crist down in Florida, he was a Democratic congressman, just resigned his seat. So because he's running for governor, he wanted to do it full time. I think that was a mistake. I don't think actually he did it just to run full time. I think he did it so they could tie him in less to anybody who didn't like Joe Biden, you know, that kind of thing. But with Mary Pertola taking a seat and Charlie Crist stepping down, and so we lose a Democratic seat for the time being in Florida, it's a horse apiece. It's a wash, which is good. It's the best you can hope for. Charlie Crist is a good man. He used to be a Republican governor. Now he's running for governor again as a Democrat, and he'd been a Democratic congressman. He couldn't stomach anymore the attacks on John McCain, his very good friend. So God bless Charlie Crist. I hope he wins down there. He's certainly another guy you want to support. But there's so many people you can support. You start here in Wisconsin, you support our statewide ticket. But if you have an extra $5, remember Mary Pertola, because she is an indigenous person in Alaska fighting Sarah Palin and Donald Trump. All by herself. Alaska's a big state. Very, very, only one congressman. Not a lot of population. A lot of guys up there who say they're Republicans, although I don't know why. Very exciting in Alaska. Hats off to Mary Pertola. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We can go to the line. Slammer of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Slammer?
Good morning, Matt. We have relocated. We're in Prairie du Chat now, but my heart's still in Madison. Still do a lot of advocacy work down there. Hey, Matt, we know that the UW nurses are going to be doing their planned strike, so there's no surprises there. They've notified the administration, so the administration can take whatever preparations they have to into account and hopefully keep the ship together, but obviously feel the pain. I'd like an opportunity, if I could, to extend my phone number. I'd like to talk to somebody within the nursing group there who might be able to give me some insight into what's going on with negotiations. Is it possible? Could I put my number
go
over
ahead.
There?
Just quick, give the phone number right away, Slammer. What's your phone number?
Yeah. It's a 414 number, so Milwaukee, 349-9043.
Okay. Anybody out there, the nurses union, that want to contact Slammer, he has some questions, and there's his phone number. We're behind the nurses, Slammer. The nurses are underpaid. Absolutely. They're overworked. They're frequently ignored. And we stand with them 100%. We stand with the Nurses Union. It's one of the great unions. Slammer, thanks a lot for calling in. I really appreciate it. I want to get to the Mar-a-Lago documents right now. The Mar-a-Lago documents. There were explosive developments in that matter right yesterday and last night and even early this morning. And this is something we've got to hear about and talk about. First of all, yesterday, two of Trump's former aides say that Trump very likely copied some of those sensitive documents that the FBI seized on August 8th and transferred them elsewhere. And they said, in addition to that, he very likely has more sensitive documents, originals, at other locations. Michael Cohen, his former lawyer, who went to jail over the Stormy Daniels matter, said that these other documents and copies, in Cohen's opinion, would be at his children's home, Don Jr., Ivanka, and Eric, in Alan Weisselberg's home, the CFO, the chief financial officer of the Trump Enterprises, at Bedminster, the golf club where Trump spends the summer, in his Fifth Avenue apartment, and possibly elsewhere. Now, when I first saw that, I thought, well, that is really troubling. Michael Cohen, however, is angry and bitter, and who knows. But then John Bolton came out and said the same thing. Now, John Bolton was Trump's national security advisor. He was shortlisted for Secretary of State. He frequently publishes articles in the Wall Street Journal about foreign affairs from a conservative point of view, but some of them are very well taken. I knew him in college. He was a year behind me. And we were both in an activity called the Connecticut Intercollegiate Student Legislature, and I was the state chairman. And he was the chairman of our college delegation. And we worked together, and he was exactly then, except he didn't have a walrus mustache as he is now, and his hair was obviously darker. But he was a guy who had his eye on burrowing into government. And but one thing I will say about him, he was as crazy as a $3 bill. However, he never lied to me or anybody else. He was sincere in whatever he believed, even though it was the things that I didn't necessarily believe in. So when Bolton says he thinks that there are copies of the original documents and that there are other originals in other properties owned by or accessed by Trump, and we don't know that it's just the children's homes or Alan Weisselberg's homes or Bedminster or Fifth Avenue, it could be anywhere. It could be anywhere. That is something, in my view, that should occasion a search of Bedminster, the search of the children's homes, of Alan Weisselberg's homes. If you have lists of who our spies are in Moscow, in Beijing, in Tehran, those people are going to get killed. If you have lists of what our nuclear response sites are in the event of a Soviet attack, the Soviets are going to change the location of their equipment. This cannot be permitted. This cannot be permitted. Trump filed a brief last night. That was the deadline. Today's the hearing before Eileen Mercedes Cannon. Eileen Mercedes Cannon, of course, from Colombia, apparently must have gotten citizenship. She's not qualified to be a federal judge, not because of her country of origin, but because she is not in nobody in his right mind would have made her, based on her slender accomplishments, a federal judge. She comes from an authoritarian culture. She is pro-Trump, devoted to Trump. And she's the one who said she's likely going to grant a special master. Like who? Who's a special man? Who has the clearance to even read this stuff? Who has the clearance to read this stuff? Trump, in his brief, inadvertently gave away some arguments. His lawyers asked for a special master, but they no longer argue that he classified these documents on the way out. Because it's false. He didn't. No president can just say, I took these documents, therefore they are classified. No, there's a procedure, and nothing like that happened here, and he didn't do it, and it's not argued in the brief. Trump further undercut his arguments on Truth Social, which is his network, because, frankly, he got thrown off of Twitter and Facebook. And he now admits on Truth Social, Trump, that these documents were not planted by the CIA. They were in his possession. And he talks about the photo that shows them spread out. And he goes, the FBI pulled them out. They were in boxes. Oh, really? They were in boxes. So you no longer say they planted them. He says they were in cartons or boxes. And then it said that his lawyer and all of his team had told the FBI and the DOJ on June 3rd that everything had been turned over. Everything had been turned over. That's what they said on June 3rd. That's what they said on June 3rd. And now he's saying what? That they were in boxes. We're going to a break. The lines are open.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac,
welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, some new statistics out, following up on what I was talking about the Mar-a-Lago documents. It's an amazing statistic. 76% of the country, 76% of all people polled, are following the Mar-a-Lago document scandal, either very closely or somewhat closely. And that's amazing. It's amazing that 76% have even heard about it, but that means a lot more than 76% have heard about it, and 76% are actually following it very or somewhat closely. 67% of the people polled in the whole country think it is very or somewhat serious. 59% of the people polled in the country think that what happened was inappropriate. And 50% of the people in the country believe that Donald Trump should be prosecuted for what he did at Mar-a-Lago with the top secret documents. You know, the one good thing, if there's anything good, because divisions in the country are not good, but it is what it is. This guy did this stuff. When 50% of the people in the country think you should be prosecuted for a felony, violation of the Espionage Act and obstruction, it's hard to see how you run for president unless you're doing it just to fundraise. Rile up the base, you know, the 25, 35% of people who are with you no matter what, and get their money. He's already gotten over $250 million. Pay off bills, squirrel it away. That's a cheap and sad thing to do, devote your life. The guy's 70, what is he now, 76 right now. Devote your life to that. But if the Republican Party can't come up with a candidate other than Donald Trump, they deserve to go out of existence, quite frankly. And if the Democratic Party can't beat Donald Trump, there's something wrong with this country. Fortunately, Joe Biden said he's going to run again. Everybody goes, oh, he's old. Yeah, baloney. Yeah, he's old. Konrad Adenauer, Charles de Gaulle, after the Second World War, were very old. They did superb jobs trying to get Europe, France, and Germany out of the Nazi horror, the occupation horror, the occupier horror. Joe Biden's exactly what we need right now. He's passed hard infrastructure, soft infrastructure, student debt relief. He's put NATO back together, the EU, built up an alliance in the Pacific. We're not going to turn this over to amateur Republicans with a fascist bent. If you can come up with somebody who's decent and honest and is a patriot, great, and then we'll have a great election. I'll tell you what, there was a caller the other day who called in and said, well, why aren't Trump's lawyers being prosecuted? Because they lied to the FBI and said that all the records were turned over and that was false. And I gave the answer that they could be, but it depends who told them. Well, now I've come to the opinion that they should be. And here's the deal on that. On June 3rd, Christina Bobb and Evan Corcoran, their two lawyers, met with the FBI and the DOJ. And the FBI and the DOJ were very concerned, because they'd been negotiating for over a year with Trump. And in January, he gave back something like 15 boxes and said that was it. So they knew it wasn't it. And so they subpoenaed him in May and they met in June. And Christina Bobb and Evan Corcoran said, we've done a thorough search and everything's been given to you. Christina Bob signed a document saying that, and Evan Corcoran said they were only, the only documents were in a storage room, and they handed him a manila envelope and said, that's the rest of them. That's what they did on June 3rd. So the FBI said, this is unbelievable, said, okay, do you mind if we look in the storage room? They said, yeah, you don't, you can't look in the storage room because there was no search warrant at that point. Now, if I were in the FBI, the DOJ, I think what I would have said is, all right, let me get this straight. You said that all the documents were in the storage room. Here's a manila envelope you're giving us saying it's the rest of them. So there are no more documents in the storage room, right? But we can't look in the storage room, right? What do you got, a kidnap victim in there? You got a dead body in there? You got drug money in there? Why can't we look in the storage room? You just can't. That's exactly what happened. That is exactly what happened. Christina Bob signed that document. She is now a target of a criminal investigation. Evan Corcoran was the one who told them that all the records were in the storage room, which is false. Turned out after the search warrant, they were also in the dressing room of a bridal suite, on the floor of the closet in Trump's office, in other areas in the basement. And he is a target for obstruction. And Evan Corcoran was a lawyer because Trump couldn't get good lawyers. He talked to him on Zoom and said, he's my man. Another guy he hired, he saw on TV. We're going to the lines. Gary of Sussex, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Gary?
I'm just wondering about, and obviously I'm not a Biden supporter and I'm a Trump supporter, but with the IRS getting 87,000 more guys to potentially audit literally everybody, 87,000 people, there's enough that each agent, new agent, could literally audit everybody in the United States. And, you know, he says not to worry about if you're making under $400,000. The thing is, they're going to go after people who are making like $25,000 and $30,000 because the IRS is going to realize that you cannot live on $25,000 or $30,000. And I believe that the IRS is going to be going after those people probably way more than people that are making hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, because they have really good tax attorneys and, you know, and stuff like that. They're going to be going after people like us, the normal people that go out there and work really hard. Now, I run a really clean business, but I don't want to be audited, and I'm sure that I'm probably going to be audited, as just like you, and probably 80% of, or potentially at least 80% of the people that listen to your show here, you know, that are possibly going to be targets. I think this is going to hurt Biden so bad that that there's no chance in the world that he's going to be, you know, at least reelected, let alone be the nominee in, you know, in a couple of years. And the other point is about Donald Trump and his so-called top secret documents. The FBI, they had them laid out, and it said top secret. And I'm reading these things, and you can zoom in and see all these top secret documents that are, that you guys want to put him in prison for, and it's right out there. It's like they exposed it. It says top
Gary,
secret.
And I've got to respond to both your points. Yeah, no, I'm going to respond to both your points. The first of them is what you said about the new auditors. I know that that's circulating on the internet. Remember a couple of things. A lot of things on the internet are planted by the Chinese, the Russians, or the Iranians, and a lot of it is misinformation. And let me just correct the record as to what happened. You're talking about soft infrastructure, the Inflation Reduction Act that just passed. Biden just signed it. And it adds about 87,000 new employees, not all auditors, to the IRS. Why was that, and what are they going to do? That's because that George W. Bush, when he was president, cut the IRS to the bone, cut that many or more employees. And then very few people have gotten audited for the last 15 years. And it's not people making 25 grand a year. The IRS plants an auditing agent, for instance, at Goldman Sachs permanently. He has a desk there just to make sure they don't slip something by him. But they don't have the manpower to do that in a lot of places. The idea here is not to go after the little guy. The idea here is that we're losing about $1 trillion with a T, a trillion, from tax fraud in non-filing or non-reporting of income. And as you say, the big boys have lawyers, and they're quite slick. So you need at the IRS, you need forensic auditors and forensic lawyers who are just as good as they are, and you have to pay them. You're not going to pay them what they get in the private sector, but you have to pay them. That's what's being added. That is the bulk of the auditing. It should have never been cut in 2006. The second thing I want to say about that is there's a certain percentage of people at different income levels that get audited. So if you're making, when you say you can't get by on $25,000 a year, I agree, but most people making $25,000 a year don't have to pay income taxes anyway. You know, deductions for kids and all that. So let's say right now, I think the statistic is something like 9% of people making the lowest incomes get audited, something like 40% of the people with the upper, and it goes down from there. So if they right now have been cut to the bone and they can only audit a few people, and now it's been added, they can audit more. In real numbers, there'll be a few more in the lower income, but the whole idea here is everybody over 400 grand had better start reporting their income. The odds of you getting audited are basically like getting hit by lightning or winning some kind of lottery, Gary. You know, with all respect, you're a good guy, you run a good business, but nobody has you in their crosshairs. You're not a guy, and why should they? It's random. It's random. Yeah, Luke, you're at the microphone, my friend. Thanks. What do you got to say about this, to Gary?
And I really feel like this is just the disingenuous talking points put out by right-wing media, trying to scare people like Gary, because that's what it is. Gary, you feel like 80% of listeners are all of a sudden going to start getting audited because people in the right-wing media want you to feel that fear. They want you to think that this is a really bad thing for you. And it's the dividing that the Fox News and Newsmax and all of those entities want you to feel like this is a terrible thing. But it's making sure that corporations and the largest taxpayers are paying their fair share so that they don't have an effective tax rate lower than somebody making $25,000 a year. And you don't believe that somebody can live off of $25,000 a year? We should be doing things to make sure that we increase those earners' ability to make more than, not just being like, oh, well, we shouldn't have any IRS agents at all then. And I don't really know how you believe this means that Biden's not going to get the nomination in 2024 if he decides to run for re-election, or that he's going to lose on this, because people aren't going to be voting on new IRS agents. Like, that is not, I believe, going to be a top issue for people in 2024. So I believe that it's just kind of the right wing ecosystem that Gary is being scared by, and that's they're putting things out like this to make you feel scared. And I feel bad for you, Gary, because right, you shouldn't be scared. And there are people trying to intentionally scare you with these types of talking points.
Thanks, Luke. That's very, very well said. We're going to be coming up in a break soon, Gary, but I just want to say this. I want to also respond to your second point about the Mar-a-Lago documents. That was very important. But when it comes to, I second what Luke said. The fact is, we're losing $1 trillion because these people at the upper incomes just aren't filing, or they're not disclosing income. And these agents, it's going to pay for themselves the restoration of that. That's not coming from people making 25 grand a year. The people listening to this program are no more likely to be audited than people who get hit by lightning. Okay, that's it. And so the truth of the matter is, and you're not going to get audited. You have a good small business, I assume, and you're not a sky. You're a principal conservative. I like those kind of calls. I encourage you to do it again. But remember that there's a lot going on out there. My grandmother used to tell me, Matt, believe nothing of what you hear and half of what you see. And that's very, very true. Very, very true. So this is done to restore income of people who are cheating, and they're not low-income people. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Get back to the rest of Gary right after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to the second point that Gary of Sussex raised, and with which Gary, I strongly disagree, and here's why. Gary said that, well, wait a minute, the FBI and the DOJ laid out, he thought, these documents and took a picture of them, filed them in court, and they're all over the internet. So if they did that, therefore, they're no longer top secret, or they've waived that argument and so forth. What you have to understand is there's a difference between the cover of a document and the document itself. There are no documents in that picture that name our Russian agents in Moscow, Beijing, or Tehran. There are no nuclear documents that are shown what our strike points are in Russia, what theirs are in the United States. There's nothing top secret in there at all, except the covers of the documents. And here's a very little known fact. Believe it or not, even the covers of a document are considered classified. So normally they wouldn't do this. But what forced their hand was that Donald Trump falsely put out on social media and in statements that A, he'd classified these documents. And then, by the way, he withdrew that argument in his brief last night. B, that somehow the FBI planted them, and he withdrew that yesterday on social media and said that they were already in cartons there and the FBI opened the cartons. And C, what I'll say is this, that the FBI, they have said over and over again that some of these were top secret, some secret, and that some of them were... compartmented information, which means that sensitive compartmented information from human sources that should only be seen by a handful of people. The head of the CIA says he doesn't even see that stuff. Even sometimes if his own agents collect it and turn it over to the national security people. And it has to be seen in a secure location, even by the president himself. And so an example I've given before, I'm going to give it again. Dwight Eisenhower, he was the general of the army, a five-star general. He was the one in charge of all of our military during the Second World War, beat the Nazis, elected two terms as president. He was the president of Columbia University for a while before he became U.S. president. When he wanted to see those kind of documents, he went to a secure location out of his office. And guy came into the room with a briefcase that he's handcuffed two. And Dwight Eisenhower, the general of the army and president, sits there, looks at him, says, thank you. The guy says, you're welcome, sir. Put him back in the briefcase, and the guy with the handcuff walks out. That's how sensitive these things are. If the identities of our Russian, Chinese, and Iranian agents, North Korean agents, were ever disclosed, they'd be killed, tortured, and so would their families. It got to the point where the CIA and the NSA wouldn't show some documents to Trump. And I don't know if you knew this, but it's customary, not required by law, that if a president is going to do something that has immediate and grave foreign policy consequences, he informs prior living presidents. And the reason for that is these are also presidents. They also are patriots of either party, and they should know about it, so that if there's some frantic reaction, they don't pile on. When they went in and they droned and killed in Afghanistan, the Al-Qaeda guy who went out on his balcony, remember that about a month ago? Joe Biden picked up the phone and he called Barack Obama George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter. He did not call Donald Trump. He would not tell Donald Trump. Because if you tell Donald Trump, the Russians will find out about it immediately. They will tip off Al-Qaeda, not because they necessarily like Al-Qaeda, but to screw us up. You cannot trust Donald Trump with sensitive information. And here's some background. He has another lawyer named Alina Habba, H-A-B-B-A, representing him in the New York investigation by Letitia James, civil investigation on banking fraud, tax fraud. You know, he would value properties very low for tax purposes and very high to show that they were, he was a substantial guy and could get loans from banks. That's a felony. It's a felony. He was ordered to produce documents. Alina Habba put in a statement, a written statement to the court and to Letitia James, the attorney general, saying that she did a diligent search and he has no documents. No documents. She said he looked, she said, quote, I looked through all of his desks, drawers, his nightstands, dressers, closets, etc. Not a single document. And then Trump put in an affidavit, and he's very sly about this to avoid perjury. He didn't say he looked through all that. He said that he authorized Habba to search his private residence and offices in Mar-a-Lago and Bedminster. And Habba said, in Bedminster and Mar-a-Lago, I did it, and I didn't find a single document. Well, question I have is, did Habba search the storage area near the pool, the swimming pool in Mar-a-Lago, and find all these top secret documents? If she didn't search that, then she was lying in her statement to the court. If she did search it, she might have thought, okay, these don't relate to tax fraud in New York, right? But did she have the security clearance to find out who our agents were in Moscow, Russia? The FBI and the DOJ people who executed the search warrant and reviewed them had to get new top secret security clearances just to do that. When they went in on August 8th, they found these documents on the storage room, near the pool, other areas of the basement, a closet floor, the dressing room with a bridal suite, which is rented out, by the way, and in desks in the, quote, 45 office. He was the 45th president, and he calls himself 45, and he says he has a 45 office. That's what he says. Now, did Habba look at that? She said, I saw no documents. Well, the top secret stuff with our agents, right, is not tax fraud. But if she didn't go in there at all, that to me says exactly what Christina Bob and Evan Corcoran were up to. They didn't look at it either. But you know what they do? They go, the FBI says on June 3rd, can we look in there? No, you can't look. Well, wait a minute. You just put in a statement saying that every document was in there. Here is a manila envelope with the few we found. So there's nothing left in there. What, is it empty? None of your business. Is there a dead body in there? None of your business. Is there a kidnapped victim? None of your business. Stolen drug money? None of your business. You see what's going on here? You see what's going on here? Going to a break. Listen, I see you guys on the line. Do not hang up. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.